listening to Living Lab Radio. I'm Heather Goldstone. Say the word shark to a New Englander these days, and they'll probably jump straight to great white sharks. We've seen a remarkable increase in the numbers of white sharks along the Massachusetts coast in recent years. But great whites aren't the only sharks around, and it turns out we know precious little about many of the sharks that frequent New England's waters. Jeff Kneebone is a fishery scientist with the Anderson Cabot Center for Ocean Life at the New England Aquarium, and much of his research focuses on figuring out where sharks are and what they're doing as they move around the region. Jeff, welcome to the show.
Thank you very much. Happy to be here.
So, Jeff, we're all familiar with great white sharks at this point, but, you know, rough estimate, like how many different species of sharks are there in New England's waters on a regular basis?
That's a great question. So during the summer months, there's about 10 or so species of sharks that are really common to New England. We've got the white shark, obviously, the poor beagle shark, the mako shark, the common thresher shark, the blue shark, the basking shark. We also got sand tiger sharks, sandbar sharks, and the somewhat ubiquitous smooth dogfish and spiny dogfish sharks, which are often called sand sharks.
I have to say, of that whole list that you just went through, other than the dogfish, which I think most of us have probably heard of, a few others in there. I mean, I've never even heard of most of those sharks. And what a lot of your research seems to highlight is the fact that we don't necessarily know a whole lot about a lot of these species that are in our waters. And you've been specifically using tagging technology to try to track where these sharks are and maybe get a sense of what they're doing. I mean, what are these tags like and what can you really learn from them?
Well, there's a lot of different tag types that we use. Specifically, we use acoustic tags, which if anyone's familiar with the white shark tracking that occurs in the Cape, you basically put a small transmitter on an animal, and then you can monitor its movements with a series of fixed, what we call acoustic receivers. We often liken it to an easy pass system. So if you think of the easy pass toll booth as the acoustic receiver and the tagged shark as your car driving along the highway. And by placing these receivers all around the coast of Massachusetts, we can kind of get an idea of where animals are and how they're moving between areas. That's one major technology that we use. The other is satellite-based telemetry. So specifically for the tags that I use, we use what are called pop-up satellite tags. And basically these tags are just like little computers that you program to collect some information when they're on the shark. And at a specific time, they come off the animal, float to the surface, and transmit all the data that they've archived to a satellite, which then gets relayed back to us. We can just put together the history of the shark from the back end, if that makes sense.
So Jeff Kneebone, as you mentioned, one of the projects that you and your colleagues at the Anderson Cabot Center are currently working on is tagging and tracking those sandbar sharks, also known to recreational fishermen, I guess, as brown sharks. And these are sharks that are targeted by recreational fishermen, right?
The brown sharks are targeted extensively by recreational fishermen, predominantly from the beach and the Cape and the islands. And they're an interesting shark because they are just seasonal visitors to New England. So they're coming up here when the water warms up in the summer. And they're a protected or prohibited shark species in that they have to be released when they were caught, when they are caught. There was actually a pretty big fishery for them that existed off the mid-Atlantic coast about, you know, I don't know, 20 years ago, and the populations kind of dropped. So the fishery was closed for them a while back now. And given their, you know, susceptibility to depletion and their history of kind of having low populations in the last few decades, we're just trying to get an idea of how the fish survive when they're caught and released. So we want to know if the catch and release process is harming the fish in any way. And if it is, we want to work with fishermen to try to figure out what is it about the capture event that is causing the sharks to die. So is it where they're being hooked? Is it how long they're being fought? Is it how they're being handled when they're landed on the beach? And keeping the welfare of the animals in mind, we'd recommend that you do this or that to maximize the chance that the fish that you catch survive when they're released.
So how do you actually go about doing that kind of research, and where do the tags that we were just talking about factor in?
To do the research, we just partner with fishermen who are already going out in the area and, you know, catching these fish for fun, for recreation. And we just observe their behaviors, you know, let them fish as normal. And then we come in once the animals are landed on the beach and tag them with a slightly different type of tag than I described previously. These we call acceleration data logger tags. They collect really high resolution data about the animal's swimming behavior. So, you know, we can track every time it beats its tail, whether it's stopped swimming, whether it's moving vertically. And that data is really, wow. It can be likened to like having a Fitbit on a shark. That's the kind of way we describe it.
Well, Jeff Kneebone, you've also tagged common thresher sharks, which you mentioned earlier. That's a species that's actually caught commercially, right? What are they actually used for? Why are they targeted?
So, yeah, common threshers are targeted commercially, but not super extensively. They're actually more of a bycatch species in inshore gillnet fisheries and some trawl fisheries, but they're actually quite good to eat, and the meat is sold for human consumption. For recreational fishing, they're even more popular than the commercial fishing because they are very hard-fighting fish. They jump a lot, and they're just really fun for anglers to catch. So they're highly targeted by the recreational fleet. And to put on top of that, they are pretty good to eat. So it's kind of like the perfect package for a recreational sport fish.
I was really interested to learn from the website of the National Oceanic and Atmospheric Administration that this is considered a sustainable fishery, but the state of the population has never been formally assessed and it is presumed to be stable. What do we know about the population and what else could we learn from the kind of tagging work that you've done?
That's a great question, and it's very true. The state of the common thresher population in the North Atlantic is not well known, and that's really all stems back to the fact that we don't know that much about them. We don't have a lot of data, and they haven't really gotten a lot of attention scientifically until recently. So just basically, we know that they exist throughout the entire North Atlantic Ocean, basically from our neck of the woods here in North America. They exist, you know, up to Newfoundland, and then they also occur in the Eastern Atlantic off the UK and Ireland. But we don't know if the population is all connected. So in other words, do the sharks that we have over here swim all the way over to Europe and vice versa? So the basic population structure is pretty unknown, and that's basically a fundamental input for fish population assessment. So that's where the tagging work comes in. We're trying to figure out, well, what is this population doing on a broader level throughout the Atlantic using the satellite tags and the acoustic tags. And that's like the first piece of the puzzle to trying to figure out what the status of their population is.
Jeff Kneebone is an associate research scientist at the Anderson Cabot Center for Ocean Life at the New England Aquarium. Jeff, thanks so much.
Thank you guys so much.